DW Africa Link.
She was only maybe 9, 10, maybe 11 years old. Walking home from school should have been safe, but it wasn't. Her story is not rare. In Zambia, child rape has become a hidden epidemic, one that's tearing through communities, silencing futures, and exposing the deep cracks in protection, justice, and accountability. In today's episode, we confront the painful reality of Zambia's child rape crisis, the victims, the silence, the systems failing them, and the people fighting back. That's what's coming up. Stay tuned. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Welcome to Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Zambia is grappling with a disturbing rise in gender-based violence, GBV, cases. According to the Zambia Police Service, over 10,700 gender-based violence cases were recorded in the third quarter of 2024, marking a 3.3% increase compared to the same period in 2023. Sexual abuse cases accounted for 956 incidents, with 71% involving child defilement. However, child defilement cases have seen a rise in the past 2 months, with cases now being reported regularly. Some children, including babies, are reportedly being sexually molested by biological parents, including relatives. So what is causing this, and how is Zambia tackling the problem? Joining me for this very sad discussion is Biyuti Katebe, board chairperson for the Non-Governmental Gender Organizations Coordinating Council in Zambia and DW correspondent in Zambia as well, Kathy Short. Just a warning to some of you, our listeners, this episode might also contain some very disturbing statements or very disturbing words. We'll start with you, Kathy, as our eyes and ears on the ground. If you can just tell us how serious the situation for official reporting, any statistics on the trend of child defilement and gender-based violence in Zambia.
Well, the official reports from the Zambia Police Service are shocking. And everyone is talking about this issue. It's almost like we are in a different country. And it's actually taken a new twist to gender-based violence because children are involved. And even guardians that are supposed to look after these children, we're talking about biological parents. It's really, really scary. And the police are saying that in 2024, 2,646 cases of child defilement were reported. So it remains a major concern with 3,797 cases reported under the category of defilement, and also almost 500 rape cases, with 97% of the victims being female. So girls and women and even boys are not safe.
That's a sad statement to hear coming from Zambia, Kathy. Now, Beauty, turning to you as an activist, if you can just also tell us your perspective. What are the factors contributing to the rise in child defilement and gender-based violence in Zambia?
Thank you so much, Josie. I think there are a lot of factors contributing to what is happening as pertains to child defilement in Zambia. I will mention just a few. For example, we have the cultural norms, which are contributing to child marriage and increase the likelihood of rape and defilement are coming from that. In most cases, you find that those children that are married off early introduced and made to know things that they are not supposed to know at a very, very tender age. And also parents are getting into that all because of maybe the second issue of poverty. Poverty levels are very, very high, and they think that maybe marrying off their children at tender age, they may get some income and earn a living from there. So it's quite difficult, and also poverty also has made the women to just remain in these marriages where they experience all such kind of things, where they even know that probably the husband has been abusing the children, and because they are poverty stricken and thinking that if I report this man to the police, then I will have no life anymore, so it's best I remain with my husband and the children are getting abused without anyone in the neighborhood or the community knowing. Also, there is lack of education. When people are educated, I think a case that we experienced just a few weeks ago cannot be experienced, where a mother goes to the police where the husband is in custody and wanting the husband to be released, and the child who was abused handed over to government. All that is lack of education and all that. Also, a patriarchal society where females are viewed as less human, such kind of things. Unemployment and all such kind of things, because most of our women are not employed. So they let certain things happen in their faces without doing anything about it. We also can look at the weak law enforcement on existing laws, as well as corruption at police stations. At times you find that someone has gone to report the case, and then the police would go to the perpetrator and ask for some money so that they can negotiate, so that they push for out-of-court settlement. So there are a lot of things, there are a lot of factors actually that are contributing to this. Also, substance abuse. Most of these boys are on drugs, so at times they do things out of just the influence of the substance abuse.
But you know, Betty, growing up as an African myself as well, we always knew that it's not just the parents or the mother or the father that takes care of a child, it's the whole community. But hearing this from you is quite sad, because it looks like now this is even now a community problem, not just even one family. Because if you see that your neighbor is having such a challenge, the wife is being battered or the children are being abused as a neighbor, I'm sure even if the wife is scared, you also have a role to play. Are we seeing this in communities in Zambia or not?
It's not there anymore. That is the culture and tradition that we have lost. And we've completely lost that. Like you have said, when I was growing up personally, I would not stand on the street with a boy, because even when my mother is out, going to the market, I was scared of my mother's neighbor to see me. And because when they see me, they will come and reprimand or do anything that is going to allow me or let me not to do such a thing anymore. But it's not there anymore. We've lost the neighborhood engagement. At times you find that neighbors do not even know each other. There is a big, big challenge on that one. People are living in isolation. And even when they see, even when they know, like children that are growing up in this day and age, you cannot go to them and tell them about a bad behavior that they are exhibiting. Otherwise, they will not tolerate that. Others will even answer rudely, and they are very sarcastic in such instances.
Right. Now, turning to you, Kathy, just to find out also the same sort of question, if officials are able to explain why this worrying trend, and if there's been any response you've seen from the government trying to also ensure that this trend stops, and also even just to find out how Zambians are reacting to these cases of defilement and sexual abuse, especially involving the children.
Okay, so we've heard from the Ministry of Community Development and Social Services Minister Doreen Mwamba, who said that she's deeply disturbed by the recent reports of horrific sexual abuse of children. And she cited the recent report of three minors who were allegedly defiled by their father in Lusaka, and another of a biological father who was caught raping his sick 7-year-old daughter in a cancer hospital, Josie. Just recently, these cases are continuously happening almost on a daily basis from different parts of the country. So we've seen the government reacting, you know, that they are really disturbed and they are calling for continued protection of children. We've seen them close down some orphanages where there was some alleged sexual abuse, and also taking some measures to ensure that the children are really protected, including the women. But I think more needs to be done. We also heard from the Justice Minister, who is also a female, MP Kasone Zulu, Princess Kasone Zulu, on the floor of Parliament, addressing the male parliamentarians and telling them, why are you after our children? We are here as your age mates. Why are you going for our children? And she categorically mentioned on the floor of Parliament that what we are seeing is a total decay of morals in Zambia. I have never seen this kind of horrific sexual abuse in my entire life. And as a mother to two children, girl children, you know, it's scary. So we are seeing those reports from government, but a lot more still needs to be done. And also, like Beauty said, the enforcement of the law. The laws are there. Let them be enforced. And then also the reaction from the community. People are horrified. This has been a continuous topic for the past few months now. And we thought, okay, it's just going to happen, maybe 1-2 cases. But Josie, every day there is a case of a woman or a child being raped. And what we are seeing now is that a lot of times you find that some women are even killed. We had a case on the Copper Belt in Zambia where a woman had told her husband that she didn't want the marriage anymore, and she issued him with a divorce petition to go to court. And the husband couldn't take that. He went and stabbed her 17 times. And as I'm speaking, the lady has died. We have children being infected with HIV/AIDS. We have this 7-year-old child that was infected by the father or a relative with HIV/AIDS. And that father has like 3 wives. So you wonder what is going on. And also we heard from the church, one of the church mother bodies, the Council of Churches in Zambia, the Secretary General, Father Chikoya, Emmanuel Chikoya, saying that also the increase in sexual boosters on the market, on the open market, is also leading to such situations. And they are calling for stiffer punishments for offenders. But also we've seen the civil society being led by Beauty's a non-governmental organization coordinating council, the NGOCC, which is the coordinating mother body for the women's movement, also helping the victims together with the police victim support unit, also providing counseling service to more than 30,000 individuals, and also over 3,000 survivors have been referred to one of the member organizations of the NGOCC, which is the Young Women Christian Association, and also the National Legal Aid Clinic for Women. Yeah, so people are horrified every day.
You know, I'm just getting chills as you're saying this, Kathy, hearing that a father would go and rape his own daughter who's on a hospital bed suffering with cancer. Then you put more pain on top of that. I mean, this, just hearing this is it's quite disheartening. I don't even know what else to say, honestly. But I'm just also wondering if you've seen or there have been any arrests made in some of these cases, and does it appear that at least the public is seeing this and they're happy with how security agencies are dealing with the cases, Kathy?
The police has been talking about this issue, and they've announced to the country that they have made some arrests. but we are not sure how many arrests have been made. But also one of the disturbing things that we've heard in one case that also Beauty mentioned earlier is that there was a particular case where a child, I think 7-year-old, was raped by, defiled by the father, and the mother and her co-wives, because this man has, is in a polygamous marriage, three wives, they went to the police and offered the police a bribe so that the husband could be released because he's the main breadwinner. I was like, how sickening is that?
Right, right. Now, Beauty, this discussion is one of those very difficult and very hard ones. And to think that we are having this discussion, this recording in the morning, it sort of like just affects your whole day. As both of you are actually explaining these cases, it's quite sad, really, really sad. Kathy mentioned the church organizations have said something, UN have said something about this. And I'm just wondering that if there's any role that cultural and traditional practices can play in perpetuation of gender-based violence in Zambia, and how can this be addressed?
So we actually have a number of laws that government has put in place. And the issue of traditional leaders, government together with us who are activists, with our organizations, we have decided to engage a number of, or if not all of them, all traditional leaders so that they can be champions of this vice. At the end of the day, we have realized that most of these traditional leaders are on board and are doing quite great work in their chiefdoms. Some of the chiefs in these traditional setups have helped us to retrieve the girls that have been married off at a tender age. And the office of the First Lady is also working on the same issue. And last month, she involved the wives of all the chiefs in the 10 provinces. So we are looking at this strategy as one of those that will definitely help in addressing the traditional issues. And also in our petition, when we protested against the defilement, one of the petition items was that we engage the church mother body through government to ensure that the church has some policies and guidelines that they should follow instead of just engaging, because I'm sure you know that some of these defilement cases are coming from the church itself, pastors harassing the children and all that. So we have asked the office of the vice president to engage the church mother bodies and also engage the traditional leaders, so that as actors we can work together and see how far we can go in addressing the matter.
Right. But there was also a recent protest, Beauty. What were activists really calling for? And does it appear your concerns as non-governmental organizations will be given the needed attention?
I think as Zambians, we just felt that enough is enough and we needed to do something different. And we decided to undertake a nationwide protest. The following day, again, there was another team that did the same. And we addressed the vice president, who was also very willing to receive the petition. And we have been assured that our petition will receive attention. Yesterday, there was a meeting again with the Ministry of Gender. One of the issues that the permanent secretaries talked about, the permanent secretary in the gender division, one of the things she talked about was that our petition is actually receiving attention.
Right, right. And now let's talk about the victims. This is very, very sad. Also, even just the survivors, do you think they are getting the needed justice and support? How can they be better catered for, especially children? There's one case that we just mentioned in this discussion that keep coming into my mind, which is about this girl who's got cancer and the father had to do this on her health bed. Beauty, honestly, do you think there'll be justice served?
Yeah, but if I say that the attention they have received is what is deserved to be received by them, I would not be factual. Yes, we have received overwhelming response from the members of the public sharing our concern on the defiled children. And also, like Kathy said, we have an organization that takes care of the victims. It may not be sufficient or adequate enough to take full responsibility and care of the victims, but I can assure the public that the victims are receiving the attention, not adequate as much as we would want them to do, because the shelters are not enough yet. And also, we need to have a lot more one-stop center stations where everything is done at the same time and cases are quickly dealt with. So the problem, again, that we have is that even disposal of cases takes too long. And we have another case where a matter was disposed, a girl, very young girl, I think she's 7 as well, defiled, and this man was taken to court, incarcerated for 18 years. He only served for 2 years and he was put on the list to be pardoned. So he was pardoned. Now the girl looks like disturbed. I'm sure she sees that man, the family is disturbed and all such kind of arrangement. That is why in our petition we were saying the pardon list must not include those that defiled children.
Right, right. Now, Kathy, as we wrap up our discussion, do you feel like the media, local media in Zambia, is doing enough to bring sensitization and awareness on this particular topic in the country?
Yes, I think they must be applauded. They've done quite a lot, bringing out all these different issues. We've heard about them in the local media, and it's from one part of the country to another. It's not only Lusaka, so they're bringing to the fore all these different cases. And I think that is really, you know, getting the attention of the nation, even on social media. This is the story of the moment for the last few months, like I said. And also we are getting to know more about the victims. And even in my own case, as we were also doing some recording for a video, we found some young girls that were gang raped, and they are ready to speak on camera and talk about their situation. So the media is doing its part. And I think also this is part of DW's contribution towards highlighting the issues of child defilement in Zambia. The media is doing its part, including international media, I must say.
And Beauty, also as we wrap up our discussion, often in discussing solutions, we overlook boys as they grow. These are the boys that grow to become men who are doing such atrocities. And I'm just thinking, do you think education and awareness creation among boys as they grow will help greatly in changing mindsets on gender-based violence, on not defiling their sisters, their mothers, their aunties, which are the girls? What do you think should be done to improve this?
For our organization, I think what we have now embarked on is the issue of getting also into schools, using our other member organizations, getting into schools and beginning to sensitize both the boys and girls at the same time. We don't want to fully or irresponsibly neglect the boy child, because at the end of the day, we talk about substance abuse. It's because the boys probably are being neglected. So we want the boys to be part and parcel of our sensitization program so that they know how to respect each other as brother and sister. So the boys are actually taken on board, because that is one thing also in Zambia that has become another big problem. The boys are out there just drinking, just abusing stuff, and then they become very irresponsible. And those are some of the boys that are actually attacking the young girls.
Beauty Katebe, board chairperson for non-governmental gender organizations coordinating council in Zambia, and DW correspondent in Zambia, Lusaka, Kathy Short, many thanks for joining us. One can only hope that Zambia will do more to protect young girls so that they can achieve their dreams, as well as teach the boys as they grow that every girl's life is important. That's it for this edition of Africa Link. Remember, you are not just a listener, but a crucial part of our community, and your engagement can shape the direction of our discussions. We value your insights and encourage you to share your thoughts with us. You can find all of the Africa Link podcast episodes on Spotify or Apple or wherever you get your podcasts from. This episode was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Thanks for listening. Until the next one, it's bye for now.
DW News.
Here are today's top news stories and why they matter. For the first time in centuries, a pope could emerge from Africa or Asia. Following the death of Pope Francis, the Catholic Church is preparing for a conclave that may elect its first non-European pontiff in centuries. Among the frontrunners is Ghana's Cardinal Peter Kodu Appiah Turkson, 76, known for his advocacy on climate change, economic justice, and human rights. The others are Cardinal Fridolin Ambongo Besungu, 65, from the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Cardinal Robert Sara of Guinea, 80, whose age may make his chances slimmer. The news that the next pope could come from them has had Ghanaians talking. DW's correspondent Eric Mawena tells us why this matters.
The news that the next pope could come from Africa, possibly even here in Ghana, has led up conversations across the country. From radio phone-ins to church pews, Ghanaians are buzzing with pride and hope. For many here, the prospect of Cardinal Peter Turkson ascending to the papacy isn't just symbolic, it's deeply personal. He's one of their own, born in the Western region, raised in a modest home, and known for his humility and global outlook. Cardinal Turkson has long been seen as a voice for justice. The potential election of a pope from Africa or Asia will reflect the church's shifting demographics and growing influence in these regions. Cardinal Turkson's leadership could bring a fresh perspective to the Vatican, addressing global challenges with a focus on inclusivity and social justice. But here's the bigger picture. The conclave's decision will not only determine the church's spiritual leader, but also influence its stance on pressing issues like climate change, economic inequality, and human rights. A pope from the global south could reshape the church's priorities and engagement with the world.
Thank you very much for that report, Eric Mawena. Angola is facing one of its worst public health crises in recent years as a deadly cholera outbreak spreads across the country. Since January, more than 14,000 cases have been confirmed with at least 505 lives lost, local authorities announced on Monday. According to the World Health Organization, 17 of Angola's 18 provinces have now been affected, making a rapid and dangerous escalation. Health authorities say more than half of the cases involve children and young people under the age of 20. Poor sanitation, contaminated water sources, and heavy rains have contributed to the surge. The government has deployed rapid response teams, set up treatment centers, and launched a cholera vaccination campaign. But experts warn that unless more resources are mobilized, the outbreak could overwhelm Angola's already fragile healthcare system. And finally, Russian President Vladimir Putin has held a phone call with his South African counterpart, Cyril Ramaphosa, as part of ongoing efforts to engage African leaders on the war in Ukraine. According to a statement from the Kremlin, Putin emphasized the need to eliminate what he called the root causes of the conflict and protect Russia's long-term security interests. South Africa's presidency confirmed the call and said Ramaphosa reiterated Pretoria's support for a peaceful resolution through dialogue. The renewed talks signal Moscow's continued push to maintain strategic ties with African nations amid Western isolation. This is DW Africa, and my name is Andrew Wasike.
DW, made for minds.